This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Russ Dizdar, and we're going to be talking about what is happening spiritually in the world today. Now, of course, for most people, last week we were certainly consumed with the tragedy that was unfolding in Boston. And yet, of course, we've never been told the true story of what really happened there. Because, of course, there are dark spiritual forces working behind the scenes that alter our perception and our perspective of everything going on. And one of these times we'll talk about what I think really took place there. But right now I want to get into The Black Awakening. And that's a book that Russ has written. Russ, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Dr. Stan, thank you so much again for allowing me to be on. Appreciate your work all these years. And you're at the cutting edge. You're doing the good stuff. So we appreciate being here with you.
Well, you know, it's amazing. I mean, first, you're a minister. I'm basically a retired orthopedist. But each of us, I think, has been called to do what we're doing in this truly spiritual battle for the survival of Christian civilization. And I'm not sure Christian civilization is going to survive, although certainly Christ and Christianity will survive in one form or another. But basically, we do what we do because we're called to do it, whether we want to or not, why we're here, and we're going to have to continue doing it. But how did you get involved? I mean, what really got you into counseling these people who have tapped into the dark side?
I think being a child kind of the 60s, late 60s, and then getting saved, coming out of occultism, coming out of trying to be a Buddhist, and knowing that the other side was real, when I got saved and Christ came in my life and then began to minister to others and help others, well, progressively through the 70s, we engaged more and more kids into Satanism. And, you know, teachers would tell us about it and parents would call us, and we'd hear about a sacrifice of a cat or a dog or some other things. So we began to really focus on going after those kids to help them. And then we found more, Dr. Stan. We just began to find the adults that were teaching them. We began to find more and more demonized kids, I mean teenagers, that were opening the doors to the dark side and being in real rituals and reading books that nobody, I mean satanic works that had blood rituals, nobody reads these things. But we found more and more of it. And the more we targeted, the more victims we found. And the more victims we found, they told us of other victims. More people sent, and then all of a sudden law enforcement and teachers and pastors, they're sending us people, and it just escalated to the point now 30 some years later, hundreds and hundreds of cases of demonized individuals, and well over 300 cases of this satanic ritual abuse, and we're just still in the thick of it, and we have victims left and right we're working with right now, and we're flying out to west, out to, towards your direction anyway tomorrow, just to engage more of this for 4 days out in a western state.
Are you going to be putting on some sort of a conference out here?
Well, actually, we got called in to come in. A lot of these some victims that want to get out of what they believe was a cult, and the satanic ritual abuse victims. So we're going to help victims directly.
Okay, well, I think that's really wonderful because people are just desperate for this. And it's so difficult for people to believe this is really going on, that there are probably millions of people in America who are certainly in one way or another involved in one or another of the occult movements there. And we have so many of them. There's not a major city in America that doesn't have an occult bookstore. You may not know it's there, but I will tell you it's there. It's much busier than most of the regular bookstores. People going in and reading this occult literature. Our guest this evening is Russ Dizdar. His book, The Black Awakening, which we carry, vitally important. We'll be back in a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double enamel number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House number 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let's simply talk about the many manifestations of these occult movements today. I mean, you've got your witches, your Wiccans, and your Druids, and your Crowleyites, followers of Aleister Crowley, and followers of certainly Anton LaVey, and certainly they're both dead today, and yet their influence is certainly here, and certainly there are literally millions of people who are involved in this, and as I say, you can go to an occult bookstore, you'd be amazed at how many people are there, and because there is power. There is certainly a supernatural power you can tap into. And certainly when they tap into this power, they can get all sorts of things, physical things. But of course, ladies and gentlemen, the last thing you want to do is to try to tap into this or find out what it's about. You need to know it's there. But the last thing you want to do is try to tap into that power because, of course, once you tap into that, you have become part and parcel of this movement. Would that be a fair assessment, Russ?
Absolutely, yeah, because and it's so many places now, Dr. Stan. There's so many. I mean, even the whole alien agenda in the skies, all the signs and things, you know, you have millions involved. And the New Age, you know, worldwide could be up to 100 million or more now. Some think, you know, 500 million. I don't know how many, but worldwide, whether in Germany or France or England, this massive, and its roots are in deeper, old occultism. Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, and those guys, ladies. And so you have all of those streams going. You have down south of the border, Santimurti, the saint of death, and the drug lords, and the summoning of demons from the use of Paolo Maiombi and the Abakwa down there. They're summoning demons to help the drug trade. They're summoning demons to fight off competing drug lords. There's I mean, how many, 30,000 who've died in Mexico in the last number of years, and the drug wars and the slaughter, sacrifice of individuals, and the drug trade is fuel the demonic powers, which I think plays a part in the end time prophecies. You have the devil's breath, a new kind of drug coming up from South America, and very dangerous drug that just puts people, it's almost like an instant hypnosis that people can be led and told and stolen from and used and abused. So the drug trade is connected to the demonic rise of demonic worship and engagement. The masqueraded spirits, like the Bible says, that Satan masquerades. Now, there's a particular Greek word, metaschizmazata. That's the Greek word behind masquerade, meaning the power to morph, to present a mask. So there's spirit guides and ascended masters and alien entities and even ancestors, but it's really just masqueraded demonic realm. As prophesied, they will come to seek global deception, global seduction, because of the rise of the end, and it's all about globalism when it comes to the dark side.
You mean all about actually forming a world government? Is this part and parcel of their beliefs?
Well, I mean, that's written like in the Masonic book. Albert Pike, I've read some of his and others. They're totally committed to the concept of a globalism, but a spiritualized one, a new spiritualized one. And that's the biblical, reference to the end of days, a luciferically empowered globalism. That is going to be a masquerade at first to the world. It's going to be like a savior, a helper, but it's predicted to be the most, it's going to bring the greatest destruction in human history, almost to the point of annihilation. I mean, Jesus speaks about this, Matthew 24. We have him talking about that time in history, which may be right before us, will become so wicked and violent and deceptive that like no other time in human history. And unless those days be cut short, the possibility would be that no flesh would be left. So it's uncharted. We can't look at the past to say, well, this is what it's going to be like, because Jesus said there's nothing back there. It's worse than anything. Babylon, the Medes, the Persians, Rome, Hitler, this is off the charts what's coming, but it's completely connected to the rise of dark power and its presence worldwide.
And I think this is really what people don't understand, is that what we're seeing taking place politically really, of course, is the certainly the manifestation, the physical manifestation of this spiritual war that's taking place. And basically, of course, we're concerned, about what's going on in the world today. But people don't understand, America has troops stationed in 130 nations. We have an empire. Now we're putting troops in additional 35 nations in Africa. And what's this all about? It's all about this globalism, this one world government, and it is motivated by demonism. This is what people can't understand. We have one government that we elect, but behind that we have a demonic force that is utilizing the financial and military power of America to bring about this one world government. And with this, I believe, are going to come some terrible and horrible, horrible wars. And if you believe in the scriptures, why, of course, as Russ said, they tell us about the massive extermination of humanity, which is coming down the line. Would that be a fair appraisal from your point of view?
Dr. Stan, you put it in perfect terms. I mean, you mentioned that it's a physical globalism is a physical manifestation of the spiritual war. Globalism today, there is no globalism without that spiritual drive presence behind it. The devil is real, an ancient being, a fallen cherub. We've got to look at the biblical revelation of this being and his collective, the demonic realm globally and coming and engaging humanity. I mean, the scripture says that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. There's a direct, God in Christ coming, that's a direct assault on the satanic stronghold that was here. And, of course, he wins, and the church is, initiated, and Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Well, we're thrust into a spiritual battle. We're told to have the armor of God on. We're told to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. So as believers, we must, by biblical revelation, take serious not only the devil's origin or nature, the methods that he uses, but what's missing is, you're talking about, the agenda. There is a sequential agenda that leads to a horrific globalism that will lead to the greatest destruction of environment and humanity ever in history. And God has given us infallible insight to that in the prophetic scripture. Revelation 12, the huge red dragon God speaks about. That word dragon is used seven times in one chapter to really give the picture of how huge the global, the satanic presence will be in the development. So the UN, all around the world, the embedding of globalist ideology. Dr. Stan, I listened to Mr. Putin from Russia, the president, just the other day in an older speech. He's talking to global world leaders and global newsmen and so forth, and his words were striking. He said that in reference to the whole world, he said, Mr. Putin said, the whole world, everyone is afraid. Everyone is afraid. Therefore, we must create a global security force. Interesting from the Russian president.
And, of course, we've had some dramatic changes within the Catholic Church recently. For the first time in 600 years, a pope resigned. We have a new pope, first time we've ever had a pope who's a Jesuit. And what is he talking about? Well, he seems to be a very nice person, very, very loving, very, very humble, certainly. But he's talking about how we have to unite all the religions. He's talking about how we all worship the same God. We worship the same God as the Muslims. Well, maybe he worships the same God as the Muslims, but and the Hindus, but I don't worship that God. What in heaven's name is going on today? And I think that you're seeing the unfolding of this whole move towards the one world religion, going right along with the one world government. And certainly our leaders are pushing the one world government. And certainly the current pope and some of the previous popes have been pushing this idea of a one world religion. In fact, we even find some of this within the Protestant church as well. Ladies and gentlemen, I do believe that with all my heart we're living in truly prophetic times. And can we change the course things are going? I don't think we're going to be able to, but I think we have to reach as many people as we can and bring them into a personal relationship with our Lord. Could we delay what's planned? Possibly. We certainly know that this is what Jonah did when, of course, and he was able to actually hold off the judgment on the Assyrians for about 60 years. But I don't see a great revival coming at the present time. But I do know that certainly within the Muslim world, there's a tremendous certainly turning to Christianity. And this is the only thing that helps people. And this is the only thing that can really help the people who are demonically possessed. Do you find this, that really Christianity offers the only hope for people who have been taken into the dark side?
Well, absolutely. Here's the interesting thing. The dark side, real demons, they know who Jesus is. They fear him. They know that he's God, that he's the Savior, they know who he is. And they totally, when real possessed people, like in Mark chapter 5, we've seen this again and again. Demons speak through them. They violently, Dr. Shannon, violently hate God, hate Christ. They fear the aspect of the cross, the blood of Christ. And the authority that's brought against them, when Jesus said, I give you authority, we're able to deal with them. And we're able to, command them to get out of people, just like they did it in the book of Acts. And so the demons know. They know who the difference is. They don't care about Allah. They don't care about Buddha. They don't care about Quetzalcoatl. They fear Christ, because they know who he is.
And have you run into this sometimes when you're counseling people, calling upon the name of Christ to confront those demons?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've seen hundreds of people over the years now set free from demonic possession and control. Jesus does this.
And because the name of Jesus Christ is a tremendous weapon against these demonic forces, not a weapon that we can use because we don't have the power, but he has the power. And we need to call upon him. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest is Russ Dizdar. His book, the Black Awakening.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you said. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Russ is just saying that he's going to be going to Russia here later this, probably this year. And basically, because in Russia, they're having a terrible time with Satanism. In fact, certainly one of the key government officials had recently said that the greatest problem they have in Russia is not radical Islamic penetration of their country. The greatest problem they have is the satanic infiltration of their police and of their military. Is that a correct quotation?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, anybody can even look at, you know, just Googling out or being, you know, doing a search on Satanism in Russia right now. It's a tremendous issue. It's tremendous in Berlin. I was doing some studies on the actual pages, website pages of the Catholic news agency, where they were also talking about, in Italy alone, they made reference to over 800,000 1,000 individuals that are in different kinds of satanic and occult groups. They're inundated. The Vatican's inundated. They're trying to create Vatican Catholic exorcists, which is a problem because demons don't listen to when you just read books. And, you know, if you don't know Christ personally, you don't have the real authority. So there's a lot of other things being thrown at it. Here in the United States, Dr. Stan, I love the body of Christ, and I've been in the body of Christ, been a pastor, but I'm just speaking honestly when I say, overall, the churches seem to be 30, 40 years behind. They're not cutting edge of what's really happening right now, and they're not demonstrating a spiritual cutting edge of the power of God, the beauty of Christ, the power of the Word of God, the power in prayer. People are bored in their churches. So many Christians don't even go. I mean, I can't tell you across the board how many believers are not even going anymore because they're looking for, you know, something that's good, and they don't want to be pacified. They don't want to be a spectator, and they surely don't want to be a part of the emergent stuff and all that where there's compromise. So we have a trouble here because on the one hand, the dark side is rising exponentially, and the body of Christ has been like Sardis, once alive, but seemingly now dead in comparison. It's a challenging time, and I believe things could change if we do, if we look to the Lord, if we stand in His presence. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. So there's nothing in Christ that has changed, but it is possible for the body of Christ, like Laodicea, like Sardis, to become dead, ineffective, and suppressed, and powerless in its visible, you know, engagement with the culture. It's been enculturated. It's been suppressed. But I think part of that is, as you mentioned, the spiritual warfare has been ramped up on the dark side, which has really kind of pushed the church into suppression and seclusion and quietness and compromise. And without any kind of change, that's going to continue to move in that direction.
Well, you know, Sidney, you were pointing out that one of the high communist officials, the Russian officials, had commented about the satanic infiltration of their military. But basically here, it seems within the last couple of weeks, a teaching guide for our military recruits was released, and they were telling the people in the military that certainly evangelical Christians and Catholics were potential terrorists. All evangelical Christians and Catholics were potential terrorists, and people said, oh, isn't that a terrible thing? Ladies and gentlemen, why is that happening? Because we have, Sidney, these satanic forces that have infiltrated into our military, they've infiltrated into our police, and nobody is telling the American people that. I mean, basically, of course, this should be the center of an understanding of what this is all about. We used to be a Christian nation, but we're no longer a Christian nation. And our churches are not telling the American people the truth about what's really going on and about this spiritual battle that's being waged in our schools and on our television and on our radio. And basically, we have the truth. And so Russ Dizdar and the others have the truth, but it's not getting out there, which is why I do what I do, to try to give people who understand a voice so that you can hear, and then you're going to have to be involved telling others because they're not going to get this tragically in so many of our churches. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you're out there in the listening audience. And of course, if you have a question at all for Russ, but he's been on the front lines of this battle for 30 years, and certainly his book, The Black Awakening, is so vitally important. You need to understand what's going on, and you need to be involved in reaching others with this message, because so many of our young people, the material they're getting in schools is intriguing them, and so many of the programs on television are giving them an incentive to try simply tapping into this other side and getting into that power, and the power is there, and there are tremendous rewards, but of course at the cost of their eternal souls. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question for Russ, we're involved in a spiritual battle, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Russ Dizdar. Our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY here, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Give us a call. Now, Russ, do you have a website, any place where people can get more information on this subject if they have a problem or they want to know really what to do?
Sure, absolutely. The website is www.shatterthedarkness.net. It's shatter, S-H-A-T-T-E-R, shatterthedarkness.net. And there's hundreds of hours of training and teaching materials and courses, all free. They can take whatever they want, and training courses, and we're doing live training courses online on spiritual warfare on Monday nights. We do live training courses itself, and so we're trying to do as much as we can, and all of that is free for anybody who wants it.
And I think it's vitally important. People really don't understand that there really are the families, and certainly it goes from generation to generation. I've talked to some of the people, and basically, of course, if they break away from it, they lose their entire contact with their family, but their family is satanic, and these families are, well, I mean, this is not occasional, this is a very frequent thing, but of course, you never talk about this. Well, let's go to Joe calling us from New Jersey. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Joe, did you have a question for our guest?
Okay, yeah. Dr. Stan, can I ask you, what is your phone number during the, I think it's the afternoon hours, because I wanted to call in today, but it's not 888.
Well, it depends. On the 3 o'clock program, it's 800-259-5791. The 4 o'clock is 888-24-LIBERTY. So the different numbers are the 2 hours, okay?
Yeah. 259, what was that last
259-7591.
Okay, here's my take on...
No, 259-5791, 5791, okay?
Okay, I got it now. All right, here's my take on, you know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right. I don't know. You know, maybe there's something to consider about this great tribulation. Maybe, well, first of all, Jesus did say, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. There was tremendous corruption, which is what I see happening in the world today. And he also said, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. So I'm beginning to wonder whether, when he says now in Matthew 24, for there shall be great tribulation, such as this world has never known, nor ever shall know. And if those days were not shortened, there would no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, I'm beginning to wonder whether, could it be what he's saying in that statement is not so much as a physical tribulation, but as a spiritual tribulation where no flesh would be saved?
Well, I think it's probably both, but thank you very much, Joe. If you have a question, let's ask our guest to add to that. And basically, how would you respond to Joe?
Well, I appreciate it very much. That's a major chapter to bring in, Matthew 24, and though I do believe it involves, too, in the end, no flesh being saved physically. Spiritually, I mean, the truth is, in the end, more and more are going to engage the dark side. And, you know, Bible predicts that worldwide, even when the final judgments come, there's going to be so many that will not turn away from their demon worship, their pharmacon, the drug issue, the sexual morality side of things. So a lot of people will embrace the dark side so deeply. And that's the sad part. And we're not completely there yet. We're going that direction. So now is the time for us as believers to make the most of this opportunity to witness, to share, and to do what we can do in our part. Joe has seen clearly the corruption, and everybody sees this worldwide, Dr. Stan. I've done studies on globalism, global consciousness, the global mind, the Webbot project. Globally, the fear is a coming catastrophic collapse, war, tremendous bloodshed. There is a global fear that it's all coming down.
And I think that fear is well-founded, but because people don't like to think about it, would like to think about happy things, and we have to, because it takes to get away from focusing on all the bad things. But the greatest thing is we do have a Father who loves us, and if we put our faith in Him, why, He will be there with us no matter what happens. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But I do really think that we're going to see things happening at an increasing tempo. I think, as I said, I don't think it's simply coincidence that for the first time in 600 years, a Catholic Pope has resigned. I don't think it's simply by coincidence for the first time. You know, suddenly in all history, we have a Jesuit as the Pope. I don't think it's simply by chance that the current Pope is talking about joining all religions together and that we all worship the same God. Well, he may worship the God of the Hindu and the Buddhist and the Muslim, but that's not the God the rest of us worship. So what is really going on today? And when you understand these powerful spiritual forces working within the geopolitical structure of the world today, a lot of things begin making sense. Otherwise, if you try to look at things rationally, why, very little makes sense. We did a program this afternoon on the threat of an electromagnetic pulse attack. A gentleman who had spent 30 years in Washington, D.C., 10 years with the CIA, probably a similar amount of time, working for Congress, working on the staff of the electromagnetic, of the committee there, was looking into the threat of an EMP attack. And basically, of course, we have absolutely no defense against it. He pointed out that every Democratic congressmen and every Republican congressman, 100% of both, voted to do something to protect America from the threat of an electromagnetic pulse that could kill between 200 million and 250 million Americans. The figures he used, and he was a very well-spoken gentleman. He has a PhD, and as I say, he had worked on the staff of a number of organizations in Washington, D.C. And, Chris, when you try to explain what's going on, none of this makes any sense. I mean, why aren't we spending a few $100 million to protect America when the lives of potentially 90 to 95% or 85 to 90% of the American people could be at stake? The only thing that you can really, I can explain this, is there are powerful spiritual forces that are blocking doing anything that's logical. And certainly as we see the progressive destruction of our society, the breakdown of the moral fabric of our nation, the move towards saying, well, it's all right for men to marry men and women to marry women, and everybody, I mean, they want to live together. We can't stop that. We can't stop people from being sinful. But why want to call it marriage? Why want to put all this effort into this? Well, there's an organized effort to distract us from what's really going on as we see the progressive demoralization and degeneracy of contemporary society. Would you agree or disagree with that, Russ?
Oh, absolutely. And again, it follows biblical prophecy and the rise of all of it. The sexual addiction issues, nobody's dealing with the biological side of it, that men with men biologically, physiologically don't fit, the parts don't fit. And, you know, the drive to, I think part of that is the drive to clear the conscience, because there's such a conviction, an unnatural issue in that area, in all levels of sexual addiction. I mean, there's a book out called The Necromantic Ritual. The rise of sex with the dead, Dr. Stan, is unbelievable right now, with books being written and giving how much love, how much right they have. And it sounds like the gay and lesbian movement also. I mean, they're using the same term. That it's about love, it's about romance, you know, I'm reading the book.
You're talking about necrophilia now, necrophilia.
Oh, absolutely, right. Absolutely, and that's on an incredible rise. And matter of fact, two boys in Texas were lured up to Wisconsin. That was in the news here not too long ago, and he was cut up by them really badly, bleeding very badly. They put him in, and they were using this it's called the necromantic ritual book. And it was all about this incredible wild thing they were going to do to him to kill him. And the book explains how much love and how sacred and how romantic and how erotic sex with the dead can be. It's unbelievable, dark, bad stuff. I'm not even going to give the publisher's name or the author's name, because it's ugly stuff, and yet it's being practiced in a growing level. It's connected with underground Satanism. And so we're seeing the worst of the worst. But here's the sad thing, and I agree with you. I want to see on a daily basis, you know, there's time to have joy, go see a ball game, be with your grandkids, and live life, have an ice cream cone. But we can't do that and eliminate the fact that the flood tides are up to our ankles. It's up to our knees. It's up to our waist. We can't just live as if nothing's happened. So we have to take action about what's really here among us. And just because it's evil, we want to dissociate and push it away, doesn't mean it will go away. It will only, you know, without any challenge, without any advance to the kingdom of God, it goes unabated. And our silence is nothing more than aiding and abetting the dark side's, you know, developments, and it's radical, horrific. I mean, we're seeing the cases, we're seeing the crime scene slides at the academies. We're dealing with human lives that have been wrecked and used. And Dr. Stan, even on the field, I've been on the field 38 years doing ministry, and so I'm saying it's worse on a person by person level, let alone the research, let alone what we see in the news and all the movements. So And the predictions are, and the trends itself are, it'll continue to go that direction. So now's the time to grow as strong as we can in Christ, be a part of the mission of God, become powerful in prayer, and really become aware and become at the cutting edge instead of being 50 years behind what's really happening.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we have once again Joe calling back from New Jersey. Hi, Joe. Does you want have something else you'd like to say?
Yeah, this is very interesting. I heard you just before, Dr. Stan, talking about how, the Catholic Church wants to gather all religions together to have this one belief in God, blah, 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 blah.
Well, that was the statement made by the current, current Pope that he wants to, shouldn't he? Yeah. We all worship the same God. We should all work together. But that is his position. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I witness to any human being, whether they be a Muslim, whether they be a Jew, whether they be a Hare Krishna, I tell them, all your religious leaders that have ever come upon this earth, none of them has risen from the dead. Moses didn't rise from the dead. Your Buddha didn't rise from the dead. Your great, I forget the guy's name, but anyway, he didn't. Listen, this whole thing about one world religion, it all hinges around one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, because man's greatest enemy. Hold on.
Joe, basically, we really don't want to have a sermon there, but I agree with you. Your point is well taken. But certainly, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for our guest, what Joe is saying is absolutely right. Basically, Christianity is different than the other religions, but Christianity is under attack from without, but Christianity is also under attack from within today, and what we need to do is have people see what's going on and see it clearly. Well, Russ, certainly, what can the average individual out in the listening audience do to actually be involved more effectively in the spiritual battle?
I would, under the lordship of Christ, growing close to him, and really understanding, you know, our relationship to him and what the mission of God is, the evangelization. We're commanded to go to every person, every human being, and bring an incredible message of good news of the gospel. And that's vitally needed. And with that comes, we need to know everything about discipleship. Not just 1, 2, and 3, but we need 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Everything. What does the Bible say about spiritual warfare? The authority of Christ. Dr. Stan, I was at one of the largest prophecy conferences this last summer in all the nation. And a lot of people there, a lot of spokesmen, a lot of names I can mention that are well known across the nation. So I'm there to speak. And one of the smaller groups, and I do this at every conference I go to, I'll ask everybody to raise their hand. How many here know the authority you have in Christ, that Christ has given you authority to trample on the dark side? 90% did not. And then I ask about the armor of God. How many know what the armor of God is? About 70 hands, 70% will go up. How many know that they have it on actually right now? Then it drops to about 30%. We really don't know. I mean, I don't think we've really been discipled well enough to know all that we need to have in our daily walk. We have enormous grace, mercy, authority, power, knowledge, insight. If we just simply take in all of Scripture, all of the Word of God, and all that Christ is to us, and bring Him, I mean, millions are getting into the other stuff because nobody's telling them about the real truth, the gospel, and Christ, and what He wants to bring into their lives. So that's the big issue: us embracing the Savior we know. And not neglecting so great a salvation.
And what you're basically saying is that basically if you are truly a Christian, you have the power to confront these dark forces. But you have to use that, and of course it's not in our power, but it is in the power of Jesus Christ who is within us, if we are wearing the full armor of salvation. Is that in essence what you're suggesting?
Well, absolutely. I think that a lot of believers have a little bit of discipleship, but not all that we needed. And maybe, we're not launched out onto the field I suggest reading well the book of Acts and look how the early disciples got out there and ministered to people. And, you know, we were out this weekend. Somebody called us to come down to Mansfield, Ohio and sit inside of a Denny's and talk to a guy that felt that he'd been mind controlled by the government. And we witnessed him and shared the gospel. We just got to be out there doing that. And God is still at work powerfully if we're out there letting him use us.
How do you separate schizophrenia from, certainly, from demon possession? Do you have any tricks on that at all?
Sure. The authority of Christ works, will confront real demonic presence. If you engage real demonic presence, it will react. If it's something different on a human level, you know, like a tumor or biological or chemical, that's something where healing might be needed. But real authority in Christ will cause a battle with a real demonic presence, and by the authority of Christ, kick them out.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Russ Distar and the book, The Black Awakening. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess Russ Distar, and you're going to be at that that program in Colorado Springs in July?
Oh, yeah. That we're going to get to be speaking out there in July. We're really excited about that. A very big conference out there in July. And a beautiful place. And,
really, I was amazed. I've never seen so many what I thought were good speakers, so many of the people we've had on our programs. And I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's just such a privilege to be included in that list of pretty outstanding speakers. In fact, I'm really probably the least informed of them. I know what I know because, of course, what I've been able to glean from people like you and Chuck Missler and certainly Doug Woodward and all the others out there who are on the front lines of this battle.
Well, I look forward to seeing you. And I tell you what, you got to remember now, I got your book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and I quoted you in my book. So I looked at your material and say, this is right on, and this perspective is there and absolutely needed to be out there. And that's what, again, is helping to arm believers to really educate. And I'm glad for this big conference. They already sold out already. They sold the whole conference out already. That does mean there's a lot of believers that do want. We just did a conference in Chicago, utterly packed out completely. We had to have people sit in the aisle, actually. So there are a lot of folks that want the information and want to do something, and that is a good sign.
Well, I really think it's encouraging. I think there's a growing awareness. I think more and more people know something's wrong. Suddenly a lot of them see what's wrong politically. They don't understand, though, of what's wrong spiritually, but certainly with your ministry and the other ministries all working in concert. I think that there are going to be some exciting times because I think certainly we're dividing the country, and more people are seeing not only what's happening politically, but they're beginning to be able to correlate that with what's happening spiritually. Well, you've got just 1 minute to wrap up the program, and then I'll let you go.
Sure. We deeply appreciate it again, and thank you. And listen, I appreciate the listeners that listen to your programs everywhere because they are informed. Every one of them, by the thousands and thousands of them, become very good, powerful prayer warriors, praying for the churches, praying for your cities you live in. And we can learn how to pray again. We pray for the advance of the gospel, but we pray against the dark side, and there's many things we can do, and that's part of what we need to know. And then sharing Jesus in the power of the Spirit of God is a vital aspect. So just keep learning, keep growing, and being a part of God's amazing work, even in these dark times.
Amen.
God will show himself.
God bless, and thanks very much. We'll look forward to seeing you there in Colorado Springs.
Thank you, Dr.
God bless. Bye-bye.
I'll be grateful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope, of course, you enjoyed the conversation with Russ Distar, and if you haven't read his book, The Black Awakening, we carry it. We think it's vitally important that you understand that this is really very, very real. And then, of course, we carry Constance Cumby's wonderful book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, which I read probably back in 1981 or 1982, maybe 1982, when I first then I heard her speak. And this, of course, opened up a whole different world to me. I'd been studying what was going on and politically and certainly philosophically for 20 years at that time. And suddenly, after reading Constance Cumby, everything began to fall into place. And, of course, we use her ideas in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We do have a 4-CD set of certainly of my interviews with Constance Cumby. We have her DVD, the talk she gave at our conference. So basically, if you'd like to get that, and you'd like to get her book and Russ Dizdar's book, his is The Black Awakening, hers is The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. I have to warn you, these are secondhand copies, simply because the book's been out of print for many years, and then we have a 4-CD set of my interviews with Constance, and then we have the DVD, of course, of Constance talking at our conference, and give you an idea of this other dimension. As you heard me say many times, we live in a material world, but there's a mystical world. We live in a subjective world, but there is a spiritual world. We live in a tangible world, but there is an intangible world, and there really are supernatural forces out there. Now, there's an organized effort, certainly, to convince us that these other beings are extraterrestrial, and that there are UFOs out there. There are UFOs, but they're not coming from another galaxy. They're coming from another dimension. And if you haven't read the latest book by Tom Horn and Chris Putman, we had Chris on this afternoon, and if you haven't said, or maybe it was yesterday, I guess we had him on. We had him on last night, as a matter of fact. Basically, of course, you really want to hear that. It should be posted on our website. Had a little difficulty getting started because we didn't have all the equipment turned on, but it's a fascinating talk. With Chris Putman at 8 o'clock, first program last night. But you really want to read the book. In fact, there are two of them. One is called Petrus Romanus, and it is the 500 or 600-page book written by Chris and Tom Horn on the last pope, the last Catholic pope. And then, of course, the next one, just out, Exo Vaticana, goes into certainly the fact that the Jesuits and many people highly placed in the Catholic Church believe in extraterrestrial beings who will soon come to control the world. And you say that's crazy talk. Well, of course it's crazy talk, but unfortunately they do believe it, and the books are written. And certainly Chris and Tom have an amazing book, vitally important for you to understand. If you're a Catholic out there in the audience, basically it's the important thing is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because the devil set out a long time ago to infiltrate the Catholic Church and to put people into key positions there who are inherently evil. And that's why there's so much pedophilia and homosexuality. That is why so many cardinals are Masons. How could a cardinal be a Mason? The purpose of Masonry is to destroy the Catholic Church. And yet there are certainly lodges right there in the Vatican today. And certainly you need to get the 4-CD set of my interviews with Malachi Martin, who is a confidant of John the 23rd. It's called Wisdom of Malachi Martin. The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. Anyway, call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you're Catholic, just make sure you have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. There are certainly many divisions within the Catholic Church today. But believe me, the devil is working within the Catholic Church as he is working within the Protestant Church to undermine the faith of our Christians. Our job is to reach them and to let them understand the spiritual battle. And then, of course, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. Please pray for my ministry, for our provision and our protection. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Kevin Fisher. Hi, Kevin. How are we doing?
Hi, it's nice to be with you, Dr. Mantis.
Well, it's good to have you with us. And why don't you sort of introduce yourself to our listeners so they know who you are and sort of what you're concerned about?
I'm Kevin Fisher. I live near Nashville, Tennessee. I worked for the state of Tennessee the last 28 years, but in the part-time, I've been working with the discoveries that Ron Wyatt made, the late Ron Wyatt, who was an amateur archaeologist, a biblical archaeologist, who, through the Lord's leading, was able to locate the remains of Noah's Ark, Sodom and Gomorrah, the Red Sea crossing, Mount Sinai, and the Ark of the Covenant. And I've been able to go over to most of these places, see the evidence there, and we have the information documented on our website, arkdiscovery.com. But these discoveries are amazing, they're exciting, and it's evidence we're near the end of time, and God is bringing out evidence of truth here for mankind to see.
Well, basically, of course, we had the opportunity of interviewing Ron Sidney before he passed away. And he has passed away. I contacted his widow recently, and she suggested we talk to Kevin to get information on this subject. And I think it's vitally important because, of course, what we've been told about the location of Mount Sinai is just not true. Basically, what we've been told about the location of the Ark is not true. I think God blessed Ron Wyatt's work, and we have a fascinating four-tape set on Noah's Ark, but of course it goes into all of these discoveries. And basically, of course, I've been, I think, six times to the Holy Land. And every time we go around down to Masada, which is on the west shore of the Dead Sea, we always say to the guide, well, where is Sodom and Gomorrah? And they say, oh, it's someplace around here. And yet, of course, it's there. I have other friends who've actually been there. And basically, the ruins are still there. And for some reason, why, of course, they never take the tourists to see what's left of Sodom and Gomorrah. And, of course, we're told, as it was in the days of Sodom and of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah, this is it's going to be when the Lord returns. So, basically, why don't we start off with Sodom and Gomorrah? What's there? I mean, why don't they, when tourists go there, why don't they take them to the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah? I've never understood that.
There are some groups in the past that would go to the site, but it was several years back that a tour group was looking down through a hole in some of the remains, and others came around to look in this hole, and it fell down. These are ashen remains, former buildings, and there's hollow areas inside these. And it fell down, and five people suffocated in the ash. And so nowadays, there's not many people being taken out there by tour groups. But some tour groups do stop and just let the visitors see from a distance.
But the amazing thing, one of my friends was there, and of course I know that Ron Wyatt had talked about the little sulfur balls that are still there.
Yeah.
That basically my friend got some of the sulfur balls.
That's right. That's evidence, you know, of these sites. It's a marker left behind. It's sulfur or brimstone that God rained down, and it's unique. It's monoclinic. Sulfur, as opposed to the natural rhombic sulfur that you'd see in a volcanic region that's only approximately 50% sulfur. These contain a 98% pure sulfur.
And basically, my understanding is that there's the walls, the ashen walls, some of the buildings are still there, the streets are still there. Is that true?
Yes, there are man-made formations still there.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Kevin, you go right ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you, but the computer runs the program. I don't. Go ahead.
Sure. Yes, you can see sphinx shapes, ziggurat shapes. You can see 90-degree angles, the remains of walls coming out at 90 degrees. We've seen square windows in these formations, archways or doorways. So these are the remains of Sodom and Gomorrah. They're not under the south end of the Dead Sea underwater, because Josephus said that he saw them in the first century. So if he saw them, we should be able to see them. The water level of the Dead Sea has not risen since that time, the first century, when Josephus saw them. Josephus spoke of the brimstone also, and so we should be able to see them today. In 2 Peter 2:6, it says, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And this is a visible example that's mentioned here, and God wants mankind to see this evidence today.
And I really think it's important to know that this is not imaginary. There really was a Sodom and Gomorrah, and the sulfur balls are still there. That was the most amazing thing. That you always maybe sort of explain away the walls, but not the sulfur balls. You just don't find those. But they're, you've actually found them, haven't you?
Yes, we found many of them there. Other people have also. It's just a matter of one getting out there in the field and actually looking for themselves, and you'll find this evidence. Now, some people have said, well, they found Sodom and Gomorrah on the other side of the Dead Sea, over in Jordan. But if you look at those remains that they speak of, they're not ashen remains. You don't find the brimstone. And so it does not match the biblical account. There's some stone structures over on the other side over in Jordan, but they're not consumed buildings. You know, at the time of Elijah, when God sent down fire from heaven, he sent down the fire and it consumed the altar, the stone altar. The stones were burned up. And that's what we have here, Sodom and Gomorrah. We have ashen remains of the limestone blocks that were consumed. And today the ash there is composed of calcium sulfate and calcium carbonate, which are the byproducts of the limestone and sulfur burning. And you can see these on Google Earth. If you look down on the western side of the Dead Sea, you see some white ashen areas comprising Gomorrah. Gomorrah is below Masada.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here.
All right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Kevin was just simply talking about, you can see the ashen remains, the doorways, archways, there is certainly, and we have talked to several people who've been there, and I hope if we ever get back to the Holy Land again, we can go there, but ordinarily, the tour groups just do not go there, but here it was with Sodom and Gomorrah, and basically the limestone was made up the walls of the building, even though it burned, the ashes are still there. Well, let's get on to some of the other major, certainly scientific discoveries that certainly Ron Wyatt made. What would be the next most important, or maybe the most important thing that Ron Wyatt really discovered?
Well, the Ark of the Covenant is the ultimate that he found.
All right, do you want to talk about the Ark of the Covenant? Because basically, this is the key to everything going on, to the rebuilding of the temple. Certainly the Jews, the rabbis, the traditional Jews, certainly want to rebuild the temple, and they want to put the Ark of the Covenant in there. And my understanding is that they certainly accepted what Ron said about it, but they've left the Ark of the Covenant where it is, because, of course, they fear that, of course, if the Arabs knew where it was, they would destroy it. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yes, and I think they are concerned about how to actually move it. It was around 1995 that there were six Jewish priests that attempted to try to reach the Ark, and in the process, they were all killed. And so God is protecting it for a certain time to be brought out. And at that time they asked Ron Wyatt to pull out their bodies out of the tunnel, which leads to the Ark of the Covenant. And so there's a special time when God wants this to come out. And sometimes man is unwilling to wait for God's timing. But let me just give you a little background with Ron White. In 1976, he had a burden for souls and was praying to the Lord, "Lord, help me find something that will help someone get to heaven." So in 1977, the next year, he went out to the Mount Ararat area, and he had 3 days in the area. He had a two-week vacation from his work as a nurse anesthetist here in Nashville, and he had 3 days out there to actually do field work to look for the Noah's Ark site. It had been found in 1960 using aerial photographs. They were able to locate it, and a group went out there, and they assumed that it was just a natural formation. But Ron and his two sons prayed that God would help them find the Ark. And as they were driving around, they didn't know where to look, but they had a taxi driver, and their taxi stopped, just stopped totally. And they jumped out and put a pile of rocks there. They got back in, the taxi started again. And after a while, the taxi stopped, just quit running, and they jumped out, put another pile of stones there. And it happened a third time. And the next day, they went back to these piles of stones and walked out from them. And what they found was large anchor stones that hung from the ark, the remains of some structure or house associated with Noah and his family, and then the remains of the actual ark site. And so these were miracles that God performed to help Ron find the Noah's Ark site today, which is a national treasure, a national park. There's a visitor center overlooking it. And so this was 1977. Ron found that.
Now, basically, of course, this is in Turkey. The Turkish government acknowledges this as the site. And, of course, everything is done to play that down and ridicule that idea. And certainly everything has been done to say this isn't the right site at all. And yet, of course, I've seen pictures of those anchor stones. Could you describe those anchor stones for our listeners? Because, basically, here they're sitting out in the middle, you know, of nowhere. I don't know how far away from the closest body of water. And yet we see them, they are anchor stones, they're massive pieces of granite. But could you describe those anchor stones? Because I'm sure you've seen them as well, haven't you?
Yes, I've seen approximately six of them. They range in height from 4 feet up to 11 feet in height. They have a hole drilled through the top of them. And what they did... Noah's family put a rope through there and tied a knot, and these were anchor stones that hung from the ark to help point the ark in a certain direction, to help give the ark a smoother ride. And early Christians came through this area and inscribed crosses on these stones. So on some of these stones, you'll see just eight crosses, one large one representing Noah, second smallest cross representing Mrs. Noah, three smaller crosses representing the three sons, and then the three smallest crosses representing the wives of the son. So that's the biblical story right there of the flood and the Noah's Ark story right there with these crosses.
And
so
I think
early Christians.
I think people have to understand, we're talking about something that took place about maybe 4,400 years ago. That'd be about right, wouldn't it? Somewhere in that time period, 4,400 years was when Noah certainly was on the ark. And then, of course, I mean, 2,000 years later, why the Christians would, 2,400 years later, why Christ was born. And Christians then marked these anchor stones with the crosses. But they'd been sitting there for 2,400 years before the Christians got to them.
Exactly. So... in 77, he finds the Noah's Ark. The next year, he's impressed to look for the Red Sea crossing. And they look at a new area associated with mountains, which Josephus spoke of mountains obstructing their flight. And in Exodus, it mentions that they were entangled in the wilderness, which could imply the mountains. And so he went to a new body of water, the Gulf of Aqaba, the right-hand finger of the Red Sea. And it's there that he found a column laying in the water. It had fallen over, and he theorized that was used to mark the site, and they went scuba diving out from there, and they found the remains of chariot wheels in the water there. And this was 1978, the year after finding Noah's Ark. And by finding that spot, he knew then that Mount Sinai had to be over in Saudi Arabia, not in the Sinai Peninsula. That was a unique thought. Most people hadn't thought of Mount Sinai being over in Saudi Arabia.
And basically, of course, when you go on the tours over there, why, of course, you go down through Saudi Arabia, through the Sinai Desert down to Egypt. And basically they say, and there's Mount Sinai there, so
yeah,
in the Sinai Desert. But, of course, and people go up there, and there's a monastery up at the very top. And for thousands of years, they've thought that was Mount Sinai, where, of course, they had the crosses. They went after Moses led the children of Israel, led the Jews out of Egypt. Moses led them out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, and then they went up on Mount Sinai. Remember, Moses went up there for 40 days, and he got the Ten Commandments. He came down, the story of the golden calf, all of that. But, of course, is the area that we consider Mount Sinai today the real Mount Sinai? Well, apparently this was picked by Constantine's mother, and she said, well, this is got to be Mount Sinai. So it has been Mount Sinai for, about 1,700 years. But is it the real Mount Sinai? And that was really what was so exciting about certainly Ron Wyatt's discovery, because he was challenging what had been accepted by Christians for 1,700 or more years, that the Mount Sinai that everybody was going to had been accepted by the Catholic churches wasn't really the Mount Sinai, would that the true Mount Sinai? So what did Ron find and discover?
So, yes, it was around 1984 that Ron walked into Saudi Arabia. You cannot get a tourist visa into Saudi Arabia. You just can't. Even today, you cannot. So they walked across the border and went over into Saudi Arabia. That area there of northwestern Saudi Arabia, across from Nuweiba, Egypt, the Red Sea crossing area, that area is labeled as Midian on the map. Now, that is what the Bible says where Mount Sinai should be, in Midian. So it's amazing. You can see that on any map, that Midian there in northwest Saudi Arabia is where Mount Sinai should be. And he was able to locate the burned, blackened peak of Mount Sinai over there. And there was also a split rock that Moses struck. It's 60 feet tall. You can walk through the split in the rock. There's water erosion around it. He found the remains of columns at the base of Mount Sinai. He found large altar stones with Egyptian-style petroglyphs on them, where the children of Israel have placed a golden calf on top of these stones. And so this was amazing evidence, and he did show this to the Saudi authorities the next year. In 84, they actually accused him of being a spy, and he had to spend 76 days in jail awaiting execution. But the Lord brought him out of that. He was on national news telling about this. And so in 85, the Saudi authorities invited him back, and he showed them this evidence once again. And there was a matching column on the Saudi Arabian shore with Hebrew writing mentioning the name Solomon, Mizraim, which means Egypt, death, Yahweh, water. And so there's matching columns on either side of the Red Sea crossing.
And basically, of course, some people said that Solomon had put that up. Do you think that's accurate?
Yes, Solomon's seaport, Eilat, was right at the northern end of that body of water, and the northern end of the Gulf of Aqaba was his seaport. So 400 years after the crossing of the Red Sea, he knew where the spot was.
Okay, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a few minutes with our guest, Kevin Fisher. But these are some of the most exciting archaeological findings, and they were done by certainly a part-time archaeologist, a nurse anesthesiologist, a remarkable man who I believe God is specifically blessed to point out where all of these areas were. Well, go right ahead, Kevin.
Okay. And so after Ron, in 1978, he found the Red Sea crossing spot, and New Mount Sinai was over in Saudi Arabia. On this same trip in 1978, he was sunburned from scuba diving. He had light-complected skin. They went up to Jerusalem to get ready to fly out in a few days, and waiting for the time on his ticket to come. And he was walking around the grounds of the Garden Tomb area, and a gentleman that was head of the Jerusalem Antiquities, the Israel Antiquities Authority, bumped into Ron. Ron told him about finding the Noah's Ark site the previous year and about finding the Red Sea crossing spot. And this gentleman asked Ron to look around at this area. There were some Roman ruins there. And as they were walking along the escarpment, this rock escarpment near the Garden Tomb area, Ron's arm stuck out supernaturally, and these words came out. There's Jeremiah's grotto, and the Ark of the Covenant is in there. He hadn't thought those words, but God put them in his mouth, and he said them, and God lifted his arm up. And Ron was amazed. Why did I say that? You know, is this possible? And so the head of the Israel Antiquities Authority for the Jerusalem area said, wonderful, we'll give you a permit, we'll give you a place to stay, we'll give you food, and you can do the excavation here. And Ron was stunned about that. You know, why did I say that? So he went back to the USA and studied, is this possible? And Ron concluded, yes, it could be possible. And so they conducted a dig, started in 1979. On January 6, 1982, he was able to enter a cave underground there. Going through 100 feet of tunnels, he reached this cave, and he found the Ark of the Covenant inside this cave with the other temple furnishings in there. And it's just amazing that in 1977 he finds Noah's Ark. He finds the Red Sea crossing the next year. He has the supernatural occurrence there in the Garden Tomb ground that the Ark of the Covenant is in there. This is in 1978. So he has in his lap Noah's Ark, the Red Sea crossing, knows Mount Sinai is over in Saudi Arabia, and he has this supernatural experience about the location of the Ark of the Covenant. Wow, all this laid in his lap, and he spent the next 21 years making over 120 trips overseas working on this material. It's amazing how he devoted his life to working on these discoveries. And so finding the Ark of the Covenant inside this cave. Prior to finding the actual ark, they had uncovered cross holes up above in the bedrock. And they also found remains of fingers. This was a stoning area. Golgotha, the place of the skull, was nearby. And so when he finds the Ark of the Covenant inside this cave, there's a crack in the ceiling of this cave with a dark substance. He could see that had come out of this crack and had landed on top of the stone case covering the ark. The ark had been placed in a thin-walled stone case to protect it, but the top of it had been broken and the lid moved askew, allowing this dark substance that was on the ceiling of the cave to fall down inside this box.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Kevin is simply describing the place where the Ark of the Covenant is. And basically, of course, Ark of the Sydney of Ron was given permission by the people who run the Israeli government and certainly control biblically important things to actually, they gave him the right to go digging. Now, they don't ordinarily do that to Americans, allow them to have archaeological digs, but they did that with Ron because, of course, he had really, I honestly believe, that God had given him a special gift. He had actually found the Ark of the Covenant. He had actually found Noah's Ark. He had found the true Mount Sinai. He had found the crossing of the Red Sea. He had found Sodom and Gomorrah. And basically, of course, when they heard about this, they told him to look for the Ark of the Covenant. He miraculously, certainly without intentionally, had actually pointed to the point where it was and said it's there without willfully or doing that at all. This was God's actually utilizing him, and so he spent several years digging, and he got down into the caves that certainly undermined that whole area of Jerusalem there outside the wall. Now, I've been there a number of times, and most people have taken the trips over to Israel. Never get to some of the most important sites, and we actually only got to this one site on our own, basically because we couldn't get to, I think we were going to Emmaus, and there was a terrorist activity there, so they couldn't take us to Emmaus, so they basically took us to the caves under Jerusalem, and basically just to the, if you know anything about Jerusalem, just before you go through the Damascus Gate, on either side there's a sort of a stairway, and you can go down the stairway on the left side going in, and there's a little doorway there, and you pay a dollar, and you go into these massive caves underlining the city of Jerusalem. And basically, of course, there are other caves going back over towards Jeremiah's grotto, and those are all blocked off. You can't get into them, but it is in that area where the Ark of the Covenant is. Would that be a fair assessment, Kevin?
That's true, yeah. Zedekiah's cave, or Solomon's quarries there, is where the Ark was originally dropped down, basically lowered from inside Jerusalem down into that cave system, and Jeremiah's men... This is in 586 B.C. The city was surrounded by a Babylonian army, and they knew the city was going to be overtaken, and so they had to secret the Ark and the temple furnishings away to a safe hiding place. They dropped it down into Zedekiah's cave. They took it up a tunnel system leading out from that area, going about approximately 375 feet to the north, and they put it inside this cave and blocked it up, and it sat there until the time of Jesus. And these crossholes that Ron found in the excavation, they happened to be above this cave, 20 feet above, through solid bedrock. And come to find out, this dark substance that fell through the crack in the ceiling of the cave came down through the cross hole up above. What happened was Jesus was crucified directly above this cave. And the Bible mentions the rocks were rent. And there was a crack in the cross hole that led down to this cave. And it mentions that Jesus' side was pierced after he had died. And blood and water came out. And this blood and water fell down onto the rocks below and through this crack next to the cross hole. And it fell down through that crack onto the Ark of the Covenant hidden inside this stone box. And that blood anointed the Most Holy, the Ark of the Covenant. In the temple system, the Most Holy place is called that because the Ark of the Covenant is considered the Most Holy.
Now, I think the thing is that nobody has been able to touch the Ark. In fact, if you touch the Ark, why, you died. I mean, that was a tradition. And yet, Ron Wyatt was able to actually touch the Ark, wasn't he? Or did he?
Yeah, his fourth trip into the cave, there were four angels that appeared, and they asked him to set up his video camera, videotape what was to happen. They lifted up the mercy seat, and they told him to take out the Ten Commandments. And in the process, he did touch the Ark, but he was doing as they asked him to do, and that was to remove the Ten Commandments, which was amazing.
Well, did he put them back in again, or what?
They're on a shelf in the cave there where the Ark of the Covenant is resting.
Did he have pictures of this at all or not?
This is all videotaped, but the video is there in the cave for safekeeping.
Okay, I will be back in a moment. This is an incredible, incredible story. If I hadn't actually been to some of these places, I wouldn't believe it.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea,
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Kevin Fisher, who is, takes tours over to the Holy Land, takes people who really want to see the sites that Ron Wyatt had found. And basically, this whole story is really sort of incredible. And we've had the privilege of being to Israel on a number of occasions. One place, of course, you wanted to go is to walk on the top of the wall there that surrounds the city of Jerusalem. And basically, of course, one of my favorite sites is a site where Sir Chinese Gordon, General Chinese Gordon, one of the most famous of all British generals, had been walking that wall somewhere about the beginning of the 20th century, about 1900, a little earlier than that perhaps, and sitting probably around maybe 1895. And as he walked on that wall, he looked over certainly at the, there's a certainly a sort of a cliff of an area there, sort of a side, certainly a rock formation, and he saw a human skull there. And he looked at it, and you stand on the wall, and you can look over, and you can see the eyes and the nose and the mouth of the skull. And Chinese Gordon said, General Gordon, that is Golgotha. That is the place of the skull where Jesus was crucified. So he actually then began collecting money, and he was able to buy up an area immediately adjacent to the skull there on the face of the escarpment. And basically there they found a garden, and they found a tomb. They found certainly a cistern, massive cistern, or where they supplied water. I mean, it's an amazing place. Basically, the Catholic tradition has one area where Jesus was supposedly crucified. But, of course, the Protestants go to the garden tomb, and that's where this is, the garden tomb. Well, it's just adjacent to that point. Now, just at the base of the skull on the face of the escarpment, where, of course, Jeremiah's grotto is, and somewhere adjacent to that, we won't go into too much detail, but about several hundred feet away from that, in the tunnels that undermine that whole area, is where the Ark of the Covenant is today. At least that's where we believe it. Is that correct, Kevin?
That's true. That's an accurate account.
Now, could you tell us what happened? Apparently, there were a number of Jewish rabbis who thought that they'd go in there and, of course, certainly get the Ark of the Covenant, because, of course, this is so very important to the Jews. What actually happened? Could you give us that story?
Yes. During Ron's excavation, he would turn over items to them, and they did come to the conclusion, you know, that he was telling the truth, that he had found the Ark of the Covenant. One of the things he turned over was this ivory pomegranate. It's 1 3/4 inches in height, but it's the only known object from the First Temple, and it's in the Israel Museum there under guard, but there's no history behind the excavation of that piece, because Ron Wyatt found it, and his excavations were basically secret. They were not public. And so by him turning over items to them, they did believe him. And a problem that they have is the Ark is resting on Eastern Jerusalem side, and that is controlled by the Palestinians. So it's not technically in a Jewish-controlled area. And so one of the things they want to do would be to move the Ark away from that area over into the side controlled by the Jews. So they sent 6 men up this tunnel dressed in Levitical garb of the family of Kohath from the tribe of Levi. And the 6 men going up this tunnel were all struck dead. All their eyes were crossed as if perhaps they had a stroke or something. And Ron, they called up Ron and asked him to come down there to Zedekiah's cave, and he rolled each one of the bodies onto a rescue basket and pulled them out of the tunnel. And so God's protecting it for a certain time, and that time is mentioned here in Ron's 4th visit into the cave. He had some video equipment with him, and as I mentioned earlier, he set up his video equipment there, and he noticed there was 4 angels in the cave, and they said, set up your video equipment, videotape what's going to happen here. He was stunned, but he set up the video equipment. They told him to reach in and take the 10 commandments out. They lifted up the mercy seat. He took the 10 commandments out. They set the mercy seat back down. He didn't know what to do with them. The angel took them out of his hand, set them on a shelf in the cave. And the angel said, when a mark of the beast law is enforced, the 10 commandments will come out and be shown to the world. And this video of this happening in the cave is there with the 10 commandments. Now, the angel proceeded. He said, take a sample of the blood that's on the mercy seat and have it tested in a lab. And the angel told Ron how to have it tested. So he took the sample off the mercy seat, and he left the cave and took it to a lab there in Israel. First, they reconstituted it for 72 hours, putting it in a solution. Of course, at this time when he found it, it was just a hard, dark substance. They put in a gentle swirling solution for 3 days, and then he came back, and then he asked them to put it in a growth medium for 48 hours. These are the instructions the angel had told Ron. They said, you're wasting your time. This is dead blood. You know, putting it in a growth medium, it's just going to waste your money. He says, will you do it for me? They said, okay, it's your money. They put it in the growth medium for 48 hours. Ron came back after that time. They took out the sample, put it under the microscope, and he asked them to look at the chromosomes. And they put it under the microscope, and they noticed that the blood was alive. That's the first stunning thing. This blood was alive. And you can only do a chromosome count on live white blood cells. And so they proceeded to look at the chromosomes out of the white blood cells, and they noticed there was only 24 chromosomes in this blood.
And there should be 48, of course.
There should, yeah, there should be 46. 20, you get 23 from one parent, 23 from
okay,
the other.
Okay.
Yeah, so in this case, there was 23 from Mary and one Y sex determinant chromosome from God. All of his features would have been determined by the autosomes from Mary, but there were no matching autosomes from the father. This is proof of a virgin birth of a child who did not have a human father. And these Jews saw this under the microscope, and they said, whose blood is this? And he says, this is the blood of your Messiah. And they went crazy. They were screaming and pulling at their hair. And right before them, they could see the blood of the Messiah under the microscope, that he was born of a virgin birth. And it's just incredible, this evidence.
Well, so actually, basically, in the interview I have with Ron Wyatt, he tells essentially the same story, which is the most incredible story. And basically, but then this was the most incredible man. And basically, we're dealing with things that are supernatural. I mean, these sort of things don't happen in the real world, but we're not dealing with the real world. We're dealing with the mystical world. And certainly, I believe that Ron Wyatt was chosen for what happened to him by God. He didn't direct these things. He never could have come up with all of these amazing discoveries on his own. Don't you believe that that's true, Kevin?
Yes, there are miracles involved here. And if you believe in miracles, you can believe that God used one man to bring all these items out for public viewing. We don't see the Ark of the Covenant yet, but we will in the future. The other four major discoveries you can see. You can see the Noah's Ark, the exact length that's stated in the Bible, contains man-made, unique, high-tech metals that I was able to find, Ron was able to find. We had them tested in a lab, containing aluminum metal, titanium metal. It's the exact length to the foot as stated in the Bible. You see the evidence of the Red Sea crossing, the chariot wheels, human bones there, horse bones. This is incredible. How could one man find these things? And Sodom and Gomorrah, these were in plain view, but God covered the eyes of other men and allowed Ron to see Sodom and Gomorrah. Just amazing.
And really, Chris, one of the most interesting things is that there have been other people have gone in there to Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia. It's not a very safe thing to do, but they have done it. And basically, yeah. Of course, on the rocks there, you see the inscriptions, the pictures, the cows and all these other things that are there. They're inside. Of course, Bob Wire, the Saudis, of course, have surrounded it because they hate Christianity. And so they don't want people going in there, but you can actually see it. And other people have actually snuck in there. You can see, remember, of course, in the Bible, it tells us that the tops of the bill of the Mount Sinai were burned black. And you can actually see it's burned black. I mean, you can even see this one stone there that's cleft in two, this great stone from which the water gushed out for many years. It doesn't anymore, but suddenly, of course, the children of Israel had no water. They needed water. And so Moses strikes the stone, and it splits, and the water comes out, and you can actually see where that was. Go right ahead, though, Kevin. You know the story better than I do.
Sure. And so, speaking of the Mount Sinai there, Herschel Shanks, who's the editor of the Biblical Archaeology Review, he was quoted in Newsweek magazine as stating that Jabal El Lahaz is the most likely site for Mount Sinai. That's the name for this mountain, Jabal El Lahaz, L-A-W-Z. He said that's the most likely site. That's pretty amazing. And Dateline NBC, they featured this same mountain. It's been on television. Other people have been out there and have seen the evidence. Vivica Puntin, she got a job in Saudi Arabia, so she could do an investigation there of the mountain. And she actually went scuba diving at the Red Sea crossing spot, and she was able to locate chariot wheels on that side of the Red Sea crossing over on the Saudi Arabian side. And so, this is incredible. One man God used, and Ron said, and it was his own words, he said, God looked around and chose the most unlikely person to partner with to reveal these discoveries to the world. And so by God using one man to uncover all this stuff, it was that's evidence that God is involved, because one man could not have found all these things. It's through a series of miracles and the Holy Spirit leading that Ron was fortunate enough to find these discoveries. And
basically, of course, we have a 4-tape set, and 2 hours of that are my interviews with Ron Wyatt. And certainly it's an important part of history, but most Americans will never hear about. But certainly, are you able to go to Mount Sinai? Do you go down to where the Red Sea crossing is covers? How can people get in touch with you and find out about the trips that you lead?
ArcDiscovery.com is our website. If they'd like to see more information about the discoveries, this is exciting information. It's life-changing. We have many people contacting us. They're so excited about this material, and it does change hearts of people out there. They see evidence. And what this is evidence that God is going to judge mankind in the future, the judgment of the living, and he wants to show everyone on earth this evidence. At some point, everyone will see this evidence. Evidence that Jesus was the Messiah, his blood, and these other discoveries which show that God is a judge. He judged them at the time of the flood. He judged the wicked. At Sodom and Gomorrah, the same thing. At the Red Sea crossing, same thing. The wicked were destroyed, but God protected the righteous. And so we have a coming judgment in the future of mankind, and God wants people to sit down and think about how they're going to worship and who they're going to worship. And this is evidence that we're near the end of time. God wants everyone to see his truth. And he cares about these people of false religions that have grown up in false religions other than Christianity. He wants these other people to see evidence of the truth, and that they will come over onto the side of Christ and give their hearts to him and to God, and have the Holy Spirit leading in their lives, and so that they can keep the Ten Commandments and do what's appropriate for the Lord. And so these are awesome times in which we're living, and it's wonderful to see this evidence that God is still in control, and that he is leading mankind to the truth. And we appreciate so much what God has done with these discoveries.
When you go over there, Kevin, do you actually go to the site of Noah's Ark?
You can go to the Noah's Ark site. The visitor center is there with displays inside. You can go down to the Ark site and actually walk around the Ark and walk on top of it. It's 515 feet long, very large. But it's exciting to go there and to actually see it in person and to inspect it up close. It's very exciting. And, well,
basically, Chris, I think it's amazing that the Turkish government has accepted this, and they actually have a visitor center there. But, of course, you're never going to hear this discussed. Everything it's done to disparage the fact that this is the real Noah's Ark. Is that correct?
That's true. There are a lot of critics out there. But a lot of them have a vested interest in looking over on Mount Ararat, and they're not quite ready to admit that they've been looking on the wrong mountain. This mountain is across the valley from Mount Ararat. The Bible mentions the Ark came to rest in the mountains of Ararat. The name Ararat is the name of the ancient country, Urartu, that was in existence at the time when Moses wrote the Genesis account. And so the Ark was to come to rest in the mountains of that country, Urartu, or Ararat. And it did. It came to rest on some mountains across from Mount Ararat. Mount Ararat is a post-flood volcanic mountain, and that's the last place where you want to look at it. But when we were there, last time I was there, Dr. Robert Mickelson from Georgia Tech was with us. He gives a 3-hour presentation on the Noah's Ark site. He's a research scientist at Georgia Tech. There's Dr. Sally Brock-Tutin of Ataturk University. He's a promoter of the site. He was on the History Channel talking about the site and promoting it. So we do have scientists out there that do agree with it, and it's exciting to have them, you know, promoting this beautiful evidence of God's truth.
And how far are the anchor stones from this site, you know?
Yeah, they're about 10 to 12 miles away. They were cut off from the ark, so the ark could float freely, and the ark was able to kind of pull into this alcove of mountaintops and to be shielded from the waters, basically.
Okay, and hold that thought. Our guest is Kevin Fisher. We'll be back to wrap up the program shortly. Well, Kevin, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. So what is the message you'd like to leave with our listeners, as sent across America, indeed across the world?
Now is the time, you know, to consider, you know, one's future, one's worship. You know, we're nearing the end of time. God is showing evidence of his truth, evidence that he's about to judge mankind once again. And these discoveries are exciting evidence that God is a judge, but he's also a deliverer. He delivered folks through the flood. That's exciting that God partnered with Noah and his family. He delivered the children of Israel from Exodus. Through the Exodus, they were able to leave Egypt and were able to have freedom. And we see at Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's family, they were delivered. But at the same time, the wicked were destroyed. And so God is wanting each one of us to individually take an account. You know, are we living in sin? Do we need to make changes in our life? And so through these discoveries, we can share these with others. And it can make a life-changing impression on people's hearts.
Well, I think the biggest thing is the fact that basically the Bible is accurate. There really was a Sodom and Gomorrah. There really was a site of crossing of the Red Sea. There really was a Mount Sinai. There really was a Ten Commandments that were put on two stones. And there really was an Ark of the Covenant. And all of the things in the Bible are not imaginary, but they're real.
Exactly. This is evidence of God's truth. And just one of these, for instance, Noah's Ark, that alone could blow Satan out of the water, but he has people out there that are attacking that discovery and others because it is a threat to Satan's kingdom. And just any of these discoveries, if the world, you know, would look, sit up and look at, it can make a life-changing impression on people's hearts. But Satan is active in trying to diminish, you know, what God has done in revealing the truth of the Bible, the truth of his word through these discoveries.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us, Kevin. I think it's important, and I hope you'll keep in touch with us, and we can call on you another time for perhaps a different audience, because I think it's vitally important. People realize that these are not imaginary things. They're really very real.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good night. God bless. And our guest, of course, has been Kevin Fisher. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope, of course, you enjoyed the interviews with Kevin. But basically, of course, we have the interviews with Ron Wyatt I did before he died. And this is available in a 4-tape set called Noah's Ark. And basically, you can just call and our 1-800-544-8927 number, 1-800-544-8927, and just ask for the 4-tape set on either Ron Wyatt or on Noah's Ark. It's a fascinating insight into this whole incredible story. You may want to get a copy of the program we did this evening, but this is not imaginary. This is very real. And other people have been there and they've taken videos, and they are available. We used to carry it, but whether we still do, I'm not certain. But certainly you could always ask if there are videos or DVDs on this subject. Understand, this is not imaginary. This is when the Bible comes to life. So I remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war. There's a conscious, organized effort to destroy our belief in Christianity, and we're going to need that belief to sustain us during the difficult times that are rapidly coming. Now, this I want to remind you, my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. As you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day, and basically we have over 50 outlets every single week, and we have to pay for them. Almost all of the programs we have to finance, and certainly if you'd like to help us do that so we can maintain and keep reaching people not only across America but across the world. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You can advertise with us. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You can certainly subscribe to the newsletter. Whatever you can do, you can get the health products we carry, the spices we carry, cooking spices. And why do we do that? Well, because they help to subsidize what we do, and we love the spices. We've used them for well over 15 years ourselves, and we know the people who've used them love them, and so we offer that, the Berkey products, certainly the Miracle 2 soap products, and they all help to keep us going, and I think it's miraculous that for over 20 years we've been able to maintain our ministry and to awaken many people to the reality of the scriptures, and some have come into a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what it's really all about. It's all about the realization we're involved in a spiritual war, being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. But the message of Christianity is true, and you're going to be seeing the fulfillment of the scriptures and the prophecies taking place very, very soon. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, and you can listen to us there, or certainly on a radio station, perhaps in your area, on shortwave, on the internet. If you have a KU satellite, KU band satellite, you can hear our programs. But most people listen on the internet, either live or the archive programs there. We keep them archived for 6 weeks. And we encourage you to tell others about our program, and you may very well be able to help change their lives to realization that all this talk about Christianity is not simply talk. It certainly is an introduction to the only hope any of us have. As we move into a terrible, terrible time, and I fear that certainly the financial structure of America is going to be destroyed intentionally. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. You can't keep spending $1 trillion a year more than you're taking in. It took the United States 200 years to accumulate $1 trillion in debt. Barack Obama does that and much more every single year, and it goes to increase this. They want to destroy America and enslave our people. So please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow evening, we'll be back with you at the same time. Talk to Stan, saying good night, and may the Lord be with you.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair, as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean white with gold.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 23 April. It is Tuesday, 2013 is the year. What a chaotic time we live in. But that's okay. We do not have to let the chaos spill over into the Power Hour. This is our time. This is our information. This is our education. This is our time to empower ourselves, and that's what we do at the Power Hour. I really am glad to have you join us today, and I know people are suffering from media whiplash. If there is anything to be said for the Fox News Network, which I now, the Agenda News Network, I think officially could be named that. If you watched Fox and Friends this morning, you got an absolute indoctrination into what they want you to believe about what happened in Boston. It was amazing. Lie witness news. We've had that many times on the program. And I think we need to bring that back. The lie witness news this morning was the agenda, the agenda, the agenda. The Islamic people are so bad. Oh, there's a few good ones. Don't, you know, we want to say there's some good Muslims and there's a lot of bad ones. But I mean, on and on and on with the